This message is given by Dr. B.J. Stagner, pastor of New Testament Baptist Church, Goodlettsville, Tennessee.
All right, tonight we are going to be in here together with everyone, so there'll be no Discovery Bible Kids Club this evening, and so we're looking forward to that. That's a blessing to have everyone together, and so we're going to be in here all one with another this evening, and we're going to go from there. What a blessing that'll be. So, we're going to go ahead and open our Bibles up if we can. Brother David, if you have this turned off, good. I'm going to take this off tonight so I won't fool with it all night long. I do hope and pray that everybody has a good time tomorrow. And really and truly, I want everyone to be thankful for what the Lord has done for them in their life and how He has helped them and blessed them and touched them and met their every needs. And we know that He has. We know that the Lord has touched us, and we know that He's been with us. We know that He's guided us and given us grace in our life. And the other day, I was just going down the road, and I was thinking in my heart and my mind, always trying to think of a message. Any preacher knows that you're constantly always considering and thinking about a message to preach, when to preach, what your people needs. And of course, you pray about it continually. Because you want to do what is right before the eyes of the Lord. You want to be able to help the people, but you want to preach what God has in store for you. And what I purposed in my heart nearly 11 years ago was to never use the pulpit as an agenda. Amen. And I don't believe we should use the pulpit as an agenda, nor should we use our life as an agenda for ourselves. And so it got me just to thinking a little bit about the message, and then thinking about what we need to do in our life and how we need to serve God. And I realize I preach a lot of sermons around our service and work for the Lord Jesus Christ. And friend, I'm going to say this. I preach those rightly so, because we should work for Him. Amen. We should serve Him. We should do the things in this life that are pleasing to Him and pleasing to Him alone. And I believe if we'll do the things that are pleasing to God, we will please our employers, we'll please our husbands and our wives, our families and those that are around us. Because the Lord comes first. I mean, even in Ephesians chapter 5, the wife is said to submit unto the husband, but she's to do so as unto the Lord. Amen. It's the position, not the person, but you do so as unto the Lord. We're to treat our wives and love our wives as husbands, as the Lord loved the church, which is the bride of Christ, and He did that by giving Himself to her. And so that's something that I just got to thinking about, and then I just got thinking about a simple sermon for tonight. Just something, just simple. And here's what I come up with. What God wants for you. I mean, just what God wants for you. It's fairly simple. I don't think it's in the least part elaborate. I don't think it's deep. I think what does God want for you? What does He want for His creation? Open your Bibles up to the book of John tonight. John in chapter 9. And we're just going to read two text verses this evening. John in chapter 9. And I want you to see this tonight. I hope and pray. Now, I am going to ask you to turn quite a bit tonight. I believe that'll be a good thing for you, to help you out. It'll help us all out to turn in your Bibles. Now, when you get to John in chapter 9, let's all stand as we honor the reading of the Word of God. John in chapter 9 this evening. All right. The Bible tells me in verse 4 of the 9th chapter of the book of John, it simply tells me that I must work the works. This is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. He said, as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. Heavenly Father, we pray Your mighty blessings upon the reading of Your Scriptures tonight. Pray, Father, that You would be with us this evening. Father, we pray to hear from You. We ask You, Lord, that every heart, every mind, every soul be tendered unto the preaching of the Word. Lord, we just pray tonight that we would be attentive, that we would listen, Lord God, that we would follow the spiritual truths of the living Word of God. And we pray tonight, as we come together in spirit and truth this evening, as we come together, and I pray what is spiritual unity. Father, I ask You this evening, help us simply understand what You want for Your creation. In Christ's most wonderful name, we ask all these things. Amen and amen. Thank you so much. Please be seated. Friend, much of today's preaching And again, I want to be real careful, real loose in using that word preaching, but much of today's preaching, friend, it's telling society that what God wants for them, that He only wants happiness for them, that He only wants peace, He only wants prosperity, He only wants fun, He only wants all of these different things that the world teaches and the world talks about. And friend, let me say this. The Lord wants for you what is best for you. Did everybody understand that tonight? The Lord wants for you what is best for you in serving Him. He wants you to have joy in your life. Somebody say amen to that. God wants you to have joy in your life. Now listen, I know what it's like to have a bad day. I know what it's like to have a bad week. I know what it's like to have a bad month. I know what it's like to have a bad year. And we all know that. We've all gone into storms. We've all come out of them. We've all been in the middle of those things. We've all had times that were just a little bit weary. We've had days of darkness that we could not seem like we could get out from underneath a dark and raining and thundering cloud. We've done all of those things. We've been there, beloved. But I'm telling you here, I don't comprehend. I don't understand that those that name the name of Christ, how they can allow this world to beat them down and beat them down to where they walk around like a depressed, upset, unhappy person. God's not interested in you being giddy and walking around and just acting like a bubbling idiot. That's not what I'm saying. But I am saying this. God wants you to have joy in your life. Amen. Now, I'm going to say that tonight. Joy comes with a price. Joy comes with a cost, friend. A much, much, much less cost than that which Christ paid on the cross of Calvary. But Christian joy does come with a cost. Psalm 30 verse 5 says, "For His anger endureth but a moment. In His favor," the Bible says, "in His favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." Amen. The Bible tells me when the day star ariseth in your heart, when that morning glory, when those angels sing for glory in the morning time, listen, there is joy that comes in the morning. So you want joy in your life tonight. I'm going to tell you the first thing that if people in this world today, if they want joy in their life, the answer is not more things. The answer is not a promotion. The answer is not acquiring this and acquiring that. It's not an RV. It's not a motorcycle. It's not expensive luggage. It's not a bass boat or a ski boat. It's not any of those things. And I'm not saying those things are sin. Don't run out of here and all this and that. Listen, I don't want to be one of those preachers that spends 90% of their time preaching on what he doesn't like. Amen. I mean, it might seem like that sometimes. I get on a roll here and there. But I'm going to tell you something. Now, I look back at some good friends of mine that preach, and most of what I remember about many of their message of when they chased a rabbit and they preached against something on a soapbox. Amen. I know a good friend of mine that preached 20 minutes on an issue one time. The message he preached, when I listened to it, was outstanding. It was a good message. I was there. I even got copies, brought it back home to the church, passed it out to everybody. It was a great message on missions. But in the middle of that sermon, he preached on a particular thing that he didn't like for 20 minutes. Amen. He just went down the road. Do you know what I remember tonight out of that message? I remember the issue that he preached on for 20 minutes. I don't remember anything he preached about missions. And so I think we need to be careful on the downside of the negative side of preaching as well. We need to maintain the focus of what God wants for us in our life. And I want to say this evening, God wants you to have joy in your life. Do you understand that now? Now, I didn't say happiness, but I am telling you this. God wants joy to be... Can I say this? Do you know it ought to be a joy to come to church? Amen. You ought to be able to come to the house of God, and there ought to be joy in the house of God with the people of God, with the brothers and sisters. If you can't have joy with the brothers and sisters in Christ, friend, you're in the wrong club. Amen, amen, amen. There should be joy in coming to the house of God. You're going to get joy in your life. Turn your Bible over to 1 Peter in chapter 3. I did tell you that we'll be turning quite a bit tonight. I ask you to follow intently. I'm going to wait as much as I can. But I want you to see this evening. 1 Peter. And I may have you in the wrong book for a second here, so bear with me just for a moment. Amen. All right. 2 Peter. My bad. 2 Peter, just testing you, another sword drill. Amen. That one's for a bonus tonight. If you got it, you won 10 points. Amen. You say, "Preacher, what was the points for?" They'll get you a Starbucks card. When you buy me one, I'll get you a Starbucks drink. Amen. All right. So, let me tell you the first thing that God wants you to have in your life tonight, if you're going to have joy. How simple is this? You know what God wants in your life? He wants you to be saved. Amen. Amen?
You know what God wants for all of His creation? He wants you to be saved. Second Peter chapter 3, and in down there in verse, where in the world did I go? There it is, verse 9. The Bible says the Lord is not slack concerning this promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Friend, can I tell you this tonight, as simple as I can put it, I mean as plain as I can put it, as pure as I can put it, what God wants in your life is He wants you to be saved and born again, and when you're saved and born again, you can't have joy in your life if you're not saved. Can I get an amen right there? Hey, He wants joy to be in your life, but the first thing God wants for you is for you to be saved. Let me talk about those that will be saved in this life tonight. God is willing. He's willing. He's not willing that any should perish. But do you think the Lord Jesus Christ only wants certain people to go to heaven? You think He just wants... Hey, do you think God just wants them good people, amen, to go to heaven? You think He wants just the well-dressed people to go to heaven? Amen, amen. Good job, Daniel. Praise the Lord. Hey, let me tell you right now, let me tell you about some people that the Lord decided to save in the very beginning. The first Gentile, who's the first Gentile on the face of the planet that got saved? Can anybody tell me real quick? It was an Ethiopian eunuch, amen. Old Philip was called out there. He said, man, I want you to go preach to him. Just paraphrasing, tell you a little bit about the story. That old boy visited Jerusalem. Somebody gave him, he either bought a page of Isaiah or a book of Isaiah. Somebody gave it to him, whatever it was. If he bought it was the best thing he ever bought in his life. And he was going home in that chariot and those horses just to pull him. Hey, he was an Ethiopian eunuch in charge of all the Ethiopian wealth under Candace the queen. Hey, he was on his way and the Lord Jesus Christ saved his soul on that road that day because he sent a preacher after him. So let me tell you something. It wasn't just Jews, praise the Lord, and it wasn't just Europeans that God said, I wanted to save. It was everything. I'm not willing that any should perish. Somebody say amen to that. Praise God. Let me tell you another person. Y'all remember that woman at the well? And I'm gonna say something here. It's biblical, so don't throw a shoe at me. Amen. Keep your shoes on. Now, for all practical purposes, biblically speaking, that woman at the well that came to get water when Christ was sitting on that well, now listen, she was, according to the Word of God, according to the Bible, she was just an old whore is what she was. All right, and I know that might be a harsh word, but that's a biblical word. And children, don't go out there in the world and misuse that word. But when you read it in the Bible, amen, that's what it's referring to. It's referring to an impure person, somebody who hadn't taken care of himself, and that's what she was. The Bible says, Jesus Christ said, you've had five husbands. She didn't have five husbands. She had five husbands. And the one that she was shacking up with wasn't her own. Can somebody say amen? I guarantee you, she probably had the worst reputation of all of Samaria, amen. I mean, when she walked by, people talked about her. And when she walked by, they naysayed her. They shook her head. They wouldn't speak to her in the store. I bet she'd walk into the general store there to buy some Gatorade or buy some bread or get some mayonnaise, amen. She might have been a bad person, but you wouldn't catch her a Miracle Whip, praise God. Amen. Hey, listen, she went in to get some Kraft macaroni and cheese and some pork chops to cook up for lunch, praise God. I bet she went in there, and I bet all the people in the store, they just kind of turned their back on her. They shunned her and all of Samaria. She was a wicked person. She had a terrible testimony. But boy, I tell you, Jesus Christ showed up one day. And He saved her soul, amen. Amazing grace, praise the Lord. Hey, listen, one day I was blind, but now I see, praise the Lord. Who saved a wretch like me, He said when He sang that song, praise the Lord. I'm going to tell you right now, hey, she was a bad person, but the Lord Jesus Christ didn't turn her away. Hey, I'm going to tell you, the church, friend, is made up of some wicked people. Somebody say amen to that. The body of Christ is made up of some people that's made some mistakes in their life. Now, they need to own up to the mistakes, number one. Number two, Jesus Christ didn't turn them away. Somebody say amen to that tonight. Hey, let me talk about a thief on the cross. That thief on the cross had his hands nailed to a cross. There was no works he was going to do with his hands to earn salvation. That thief on the cross, his feet was nailed to a plank. There was no way he was going to walk anywhere and do anything to earn his salvation. But the Lord Jesus Christ said unto him, He said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Amen. Talk about a thief on the cross who deserved to be there. We deserve to die and go to hell. Amen. We deserve to pay our own sin debt. Hey, listen, we wasn't chosen from the foundation of the world. But by God's foreknowledge, He knew we'd be saved. But I'm here to tell you tonight, God knew that because He knows all. He's seen all. He is all. Praise the Lord. But I'm going to say this tonight, that God is not willing any should perish, whether it be the thief on the cross, whether it be the wicked woman of Samaria, whether it be the Ethiopian eunuch, praise the Lord, whether it be the paralytic sitting by the pool of Siloam, amen. Whether he be sitting there saying, I just want the water to move. And when the water begins to move, I got nobody to take me in. Or Jesus Christ said, pick up your bed and get it on up. Amen. Jesus Christ today, God is not willing that any should perish. Do you understand? You want joy in your life tonight. First thing that's going to have to happen is you have to get saved. Amen. You're going to have to get saved. God wants this world and the people to be saved. Now, if you choose to, you can pay your own sin debt. Okay? And you got to pay it in the devil's hell. You understand that tonight? The first thing God wants is for you to be saved. The Bible tells me in Acts chapter 17, verse 30, for time's sake, I don't need you to turn there, but Paul was preaching over those Athenians, and he said, at the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commanded all men everywhere to repent. When that new covenant came across, my friend, I'm here to tell you tonight, when that new covenant came across, God was not looking down and winking at any sin no more. He wasn't excusing the ignorance, whereas Jesus Christ said, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. They know what they're doing now. They need to know the right ways of God. But I'm here to tell you this evening, my friend, that God wants you first to be saved. Secondly, we're talking about joy in our Christian life tonight. Amen. You want joy in your life as a person this evening. God wants, the first thing He wants is for you to be saved. Amen. Amen. See, you know, we have a tendency, you know what, when a preacher starts preaching on salvation on Wednesday night, you know, because Wednesday night, we're all supposed to be the members of the First Baptist Self-Righteous Church. Amen. We all assume everybody coming to a church house on Wednesday night is going to be saved. I guarantee you this, we all assume that on a Tuesday night in the middle of working a youth class and a family class, that all the workers are going to be saved. Well, one sitting on the front row tonight that went to a Tuesday night family class as a worker, and she got saved, praise the Lord, on that Tuesday night. Amen. 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 Brother Dan, you got to mute that thing. Oh, amen, praise God. Now, I'm here to tell you tonight, guys, God won't you be saved? Now, a lot of times we have a tendency when we hear that, we go, well, it's just another salvation message. Let's kick back. And I'm already saved. I don't need to hear this. We need to hear it. Amen. The second thing, though, God wants, if you're going to have joy in your life, is He wants you to be sanctified. You say, whoa, wait a second. Sanctified? Now we're getting somewhere. Turn your Bibles over there to 2 Corinthians in chapter 6 and in verse 17. And you know the verse quite well, but I'm here to tell you tonight that there's some things that we need to get a hold of in our life, because there's some things that God wants for us. There's some things that God wants us to have in our life. And I'm telling you, God wants you to have joy in your life. Joy does not come without a cost. It does not come without a price. Salvation did not come without a sinless body dying on the cross of Calvary. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians in chapter 6 and verse 17, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Now, friend, that is a documentation on repentance. It is. It's not a work. But I'm telling you, once you get saved tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ wants you to come out from among them and be separate. The word sanctified means to be separated. Same word as meaning holy. Those vessels in the temple of God, they were sanctified vessels. They were separated. Amen. They wasn't used for the daily lunch table, the daily breakfast table. They wasn't just cups that you get down there at Walgreens. Those vessels that were sanctified in the temple of God, they were sanctified because they were separated. They had one purpose, and that was to bring glory unto God in the midst of the sacrifice so the sins of Israel could be paid for. Tonight, my friend, once you're saved, what God wants for you, He wants you to be sanctified. C.H. Spurgeon said, you are saved. Seek to be like your Savior. Turn to 1 Peter with me in chapter 1. 1 Peter in chapter 1. I want to hammer this thing down tonight. And I think we're right on this one. 1 Peter in chapter 1, watch what it says. Again, I say this, that Spurgeon said, ye are saved, seek to be like your Savior. To be holy, to be sanctified, is to be separated. The Bible says in 1 Peter in chapter 1 and verse 15, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. That word conversation means conduct or livelihood. Verse 16 says, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Holy is not referring to someone that is sinless. He is not telling you to be sinless. He is telling you to be separated, to be sanctified in a world that sometimes seems like it's gone mad. How do we separate it? Why should we be separated? 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9 says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that when ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Friend, we have such a tendency sometimes to just spiritualize every single verse that we see in the world today. And he says, well, he's just called me out of darkness and he's called me into his marvelous light. And that's just a spiritual thing. Friend, that is not just a spiritual thing. He's called you out of the darkness of this world. He's called you out of the wickedness and the sin in this world. He said, I'm holy, therefore you ought to be holy. He says, come out and be ye separate. You ought not be like the world is. Somebody give me an amen right there. Don't amen all the salvation verses. Then we start getting in here where I'm meddling, praise the Lord, and say, well, I'm going to sit here quiet, amen. Because you're going to be held accountable whether you amen or not, amen. So let's just amen, make it all sound like it's good, praise the Lord. Turn your Bibles one page right there. Let me say this to you tonight. That the Lord, what He wants for you is to be saved. He wants you to be sanctified. The Lord would have us to be different than those in the world. Now that word peculiar does not mean an oddity. Some people think if they'll just be odd that they're pleasing God. That rhymed. I'm a rapper, praise the Lord. Did you see that? I need a hat on backwards up here. My britches down. Amen. Let me say this. The word peculiar, friend, it means a rarity. Do you know what is most valuable in this world? Those things that are the most rare. That's why diamonds are valuable. Amen. That's why they're valuable, because they're rare. And the things in this world today, we are a peculiar nation. We are a chosen generation. We are a royal priesthood. The priesthood was separate of everybody else. But now as a child of God in this new covenant, in this new testament, in this age of grace, as a child of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ, and part of His bride tonight, friend, we are a peculiar, rare jewel. Proverbs 31:10 simply tells us this. It says, who can find a virtuous woman for her price? Far above rubies. It's a peculiar jewel. It's a rare jewel that very few can find. But boy, when you do, you'll pay anything you can to have it. You look over there in chapter 3 of 1 Peter. And beginning in verse 8, watch this here, if you will. We need to be sanctified. It means we need to be separated. It means that we need to be different than the world. We ought to be joyful in our life. We ought to have joyful in the church. Verse 8 says, finally be ye of one mind. Having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing. Knowing that ye are therefore called, thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will, listen here, listen to this verse, I don't know if you've ever hit it like this. For he that will love life and see good days. Now let's stop there and look up at me. Now, how many of us, we think that in order to be separated and sanctified in this world, that we just got to walk around like we're just miserable, a dark cloud over our head? Oh, I'm so unhappy. Nobody wants what you have when you act like that. Do you understand that? When somebody comes up to me and they're snotting and they're coughing and they're hacking and they're wiping their nose, I'm not shaking their hand. Amen? You can get mad at me all you want. I'm not doing it. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to say no. I'm just not going to shake a snotty hand. Amen? Now, I understand with kids are different. You know, well, I say ain't shaking their hand either. But anyway, what I'm trying to tell you tonight, guys, when you go up to somebody and you want to share Jesus with them, and you're just miserable, they don't want what you have. They're going to go on to somebody else what they got. And what they got, and that's terrible grammar, praise the Lord. What they have may be synthetic, but it's attractive. We got the truth, we got the living Word of God, we got the Bible, Holy Spirit of God dwelling inside of us, we are the temple of God tonight. There ought to be some joy in our life. There ought to be some joy in our churches. There ought to be some joy in our houses, amen. That's what we ought to have. God wants you to have that. But it's going to come through sanctification. Keep reading with me there. He says, verse 10, let's read over. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that speak, and his lips that they speak, no guile. You know what guile means? It means deceit. It means a fraud. It means hypocrisy. Did you know that God killed more people in the Bible because of the tongue than He did anything else? You study that Old Testament out and you find out when God got it on with Israel, when He killed all those people, and I mean left and right, it's because they were murmuring against God's man. They were murmuring against God. They were murmuring what God did. They were murmuring. God said, okay, you're done. Amen. God killed more people because of the tongue than He did anything. You mark that down. Hey, get quiet. Amen. You mark it down. If we're going to be separated, we're going to be sanctified, we got to quit acting like the world out there. Somebody give me an amen on that now. Keep reading. We'll get on out of Peter and y'all quit treading water. Verse 11 says, let him eschew evil. You know what the word eschew means? Remember we talked about the other day, eschew chicken? Well, the word eschew means hate. You ought to hate evil. Well, it ain't biblical to hate. It ain't biblical to hate your brother. The Bible says you hate your brother, you're a murderer. But you ought to hate what God hates. The Bible tells me in the book of Proverbs that, God hates six things. Or he says God hates six things, amen. Yea, seven is abomination unto him. By the way, while we're on the topic, number seven is he that soweth discord amongst the brethren. Amen, preacher. Amen. Amen myself. Amen. He said, you shoot evil. Let him eschew evil. He hates it. And do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. We ought to pursue peace and joy. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Friend, I'm here to tell you tonight what God wants in your life. He wants you to be sanctified. He wants you to be separated. He wants you to be different than those in this world today. Young people, listen to me and listen to me carefully. You ought not act like them people on TV. Amen, preacher. Hey, you don't need to be walking around with a flat bill hat turned crooked and I'm not going to get on the soapbox. And first of all, that just looks ridiculous. It makes your head look like it's square. You look like Charlie Brown wearing a hat like that. It doesn't look good at all. And breeches are meant to be worn around the waist. And ladies and men, waist are right here. They ain't down here on your hips. By the way, ladies, when you wear low hip pants, guess what it does? It makes your hips look wider. Amen? They make you look wider. Okay? So I'm just throwing that out. Maybe you quit wearing them down so low. Praise the Lord. And you quit wearing a flat bill hat. Here's some of them boys on the baseball team. I don't let any of my baseball players wear a flat bill hat. You say, why, preacher? You can do that? Yep, I'm the coach. Amen? I get their hats. I bend the bill and I give it to them. Amen. That's what it's meant to be. That way it covers the sun in their eyes. You don't want a flat bill hat. That ain't no sense in that. But anyway, let's get off that topic. So, God wants you to be sanctified. He wants you to be saved. Friend, when you get sanctified and you get saved, you're usually not going to have a problem to sow. God wants you to sow. Amen. Turn over to Mark 4 with me real quick tonight. Mark chapter 4. And we're doing just fine and dandy on time. But I'll tell you what, my voice may run out before time does. God, that's a kicker. What God wants in your life is He wants you to be saved. Can I say that again? He wants to be saved. By the way, He wants everybody to be saved. Amen. Hey, He wants you to be sanctified. But once you get saved and you're sanctified, God wants you to sow. And everybody's familiar with the parable of the sower. So we're going to skip down to the definitions here. And in verse 14 in Mark 4, the Bible says, the sower soweth what? The word. The Lord Jesus Christ told us in Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. He said in Mark 16, verse 15, which is up on that board, and he said unto them, go ye in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Spurgeon said, as soon as a man has found Christ, he begins to find others. The greatest marketing in all the world is not a commercial on NBC, but it's word of mouth. The greatest marketing in the world is word of mouth. And friend, when you get saved and you get sanctified, when you get a hold of the Lord Jesus Christ, when Christ finds you, then you go forward to tell everybody else about what He's done for. That's all through the Word of God. Maniac of Gadara did that. Cornelius the Italian did that. I believe in all my heart the Ethiopian eunuch did that. That woman we talked about at the well, she dropped her water pot. She dropped what she was doing. And she took off and she ran back through the city and she started professing what Jesus Christ had just did. And all those men come running out there to meet the Messiah. You understand tonight, friend? When you get saved, when you get sanctified, you'll start to sow. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians just real quick with me. We'll get over there real quick. And I only got one more point. You'll be done tonight. Go home, start cooking for tomorrow. Or order your turkey from barbecue. Why should we sow? I want you to think about those that you've led to the Lord Jesus Christ in the past year or 2 years, 10 years, whatever it may be, 20 years. You think about those. Those are seeds of the Word of God that you sowed in their hearts. And they took root, praise the Lord, and they began to grow. They came to fruition. They found good ground. And the Bible went on to say in Mark 4 that some went to 20-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. Those very fruit from that seed planted went forward and did the same thing. They sowed the Word of God as well. And it fell on good ground and it produced. And it went forward and went on, fell on good ground. And it's a reproduction. It's a reproducing cycle of sowing the Word of God in the people's hearts is what God wants for you tonight. He wants the world, He wants people to be saved. He wants them to be sanctified. He wants them to sow the seed of the Word of God. Why? 1 Thessalonians in chapter 2 and in verse 19, Paul said here, "For what is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming? For ye are our glory and our joy." In Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30, the Bible says that he that winneth souls is wise. Praise the Lord. God wants you to sow the Word of God. He wants you to sow the seeds of the Word of God. I've talked about it 100 times. We got it in a bulletin, what it would take if you just pass 3 tracts out a day, if you'll just touch 3 people a day, if you'll just come in contact with the Word, 3 people a day, how many people receive the Word of God in a 5-year period? It's thousands, friends. And multiply that by everybody that is in here tonight. What does God want for you this evening? He wants you to have joy in your life. Not only does He want you to have joy in your life, but in order to have that joy, He wants you to be saved tonight. He wants you to be sanctified. He wants you to be a separated body. He wants you to be different than those that are in this world today. And friend, He wants you to sow the Word of God. Let me say this as you turn to Matthew chapter 5. Last time I asked you to turn tonight. Again, I'll repeat the first 3 points. God wants you to be saved. If you're here tonight and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you're not quite sure if you died tonight, you'd go to heaven. Friend, this could be the, this, listen, I love, what some of our brethren have done on the movie screen with the rapture movies and all that stuff, and I will tell you, a lot of them has gotten a lot of it wrong. Amen. You're in earshot of my voice tonight, and you're hearing the pure, plain old gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You won't have a second chance. The Bible tells me that God will send strong delusion that you believe a lie because you had pleasure in unrighteousness. Amen. God hears the prayers of the righteous, but the Bible says His face is against them that do evil. Amen. So you're here tonight, you need to make sure that you're saved. Amen. Examine yourself whether you be in the faith. God wants you to be saved to have joy. He wants you to be sanctified to have joy. He wants you to sow the Word of God so that you have joy. But friend, He wants you to shine in a dark world to have joy in the Christian life. He wants you to shine. Do you understand that tonight? He wants you to shine. Mark in chapter 5 and in verse 13, the Bible says, "Ye are the salt of the earth." But if the salt had lost it, I'm sorry, Matthew chapter 5, I told you wrong on the second time. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt had lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is fence good for nothing, but to be cast out and be trodden down under the foot of men. Ye are the light of the world, and a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on the candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light shine, so shine before men, that they may see your good works, and glorify your Father which is in heaven." You know, beloved, I don't believe here tonight that there's anybody that should go out here and do good works so that your glory can be received. But I believe tonight that God wants you to shine in this world and do good works in this world, not to be saved, but because you're saved, amen, so that your Father in heaven can be glorified. We ought to shine the glorious gospel. I know I've told this story, but in the midst of creation, God created a lesser light. He created a greater light. The greater light was the sun. It has its own power. It's self-existent. That sun is self-powered, amen. And then He created that moon over there, the lesser light, to rule the night, amen. We open up with the text in John 9 tonight where it says, "While He's in the world, amen, He is the light of the world, but now we're the light of the world." He says, "Night cometh when no man can work." Praise the Lord. I'm here to tell you tonight, the night is upon this world. This world is a lost and dying and dark place, amen, and we are to be the light unto a lost world. We're not to shine our own light, for we have none, but we are to be a reflective light, just like that moon is in the night, a reflective light of the self-power and Son of God tonight, amen, who died on the cross of Calvary. What does God want for you? He wants you to shine in a lost and dying and dark world to save. Can you say amen to that tonight? You are the light of the world. Harry Ironside said, you could not be saved through any effort of your own. But now that you are saved, it is necessary for you to put forward every effort you can to glorify Him. It is our duty, friend. It is our calling. It is our job. It is our honor. It is our privilege to shine in a lost and dying and dark world for Him that paid the price, for Him that paid the cost, for Him that gave us our salvation. For Him we must be sanctified. For Him we must be separated. And for Him we must sow the Word of God. And for Him tonight, we need to shine forth in a world filled with blackness and sin. to the glory of the risen Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in every county, in every community, in every corner of this world tonight. What does God want for you? He wants you to shine His glory. Would you bow your heads with me tonight? Every head bowed, every eyes closed.
This concludes this message. For more information on messages available through the Faithful Witness Outreach, visit New Testament Baptist Church online at www.ntbctn.com. Or for immediate assistance, call New Testament Baptist Church at 615-851-0970. If you are in the Nashville, Tennessee area, please feel free to join us at any of our church times. New Testament Baptist Church is located at 2320 Baker Station Road, Goodlettsville, Tennessee, 37072.